Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armelie.
Well, good morning, Antioch. So good to see you. I've been online with you and just didn't put anything in this morning because I can say hi to you this way this morning. Hi, family. Miss seeing you. Well, I want to start this morning by speaking to you about the Holy Spirit. And I have to be truthful. I've been just overwhelmed by Him in the last week. I'm trying to keep myself just together so I can preach. But right now, while you're at home, I ask that you would just gather your family and just sit quietly for a minute. Because I want to invite the Holy Spirit to come. I believe that's the direction He's given me this morning. So just as you're sitting there with your kids around you or your husband or wife with you or you're by yourself, right now, I say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, flood each home. Flood each room. Pastor Jay already said it. But Holy Spirit, would you come? We honor you, Holy Spirit. And you were sent to us as the comforter, the strengthener, the one who edifies or builds us up. Holy Spirit, you are peace. Holy Spirit, you bring hope. Holy Spirit, you bring joy. And there is no place else to go. No one can give this to us like you do. So Holy Spirit, come. Fill to overflowing. To overflowing each person, each room. We honor you. We want to understand you more. Thank you, Lord. How awesome you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. John 14, 25 to 27. All this I have spoken while still with you, Jesus said. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. If that was ever a word for today, this is a word that we have to hang on to. Last Sunday, Pastor Jay preached on peace. And he quoted this scripture, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, out of the New Living Translation. You will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. In the Passion Translation, it says it this way. Perfect, absolute peace surrounds and in brackets watches over you, over those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. Yes, trust in the Lord Yahweh forever, for Yah, the Lord God, is your rock of ages. Church, we're standing on solid ground. We're standing in a place of absolute peace. Yes, the storms can come, but there's a place in Him that is amazing. In Corinthians, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In a season when things have fallen away that we were so accustomed to doing, places we could go to have dinner, going to friends' homes to sit and talk, all the things, all the entertainment, everything has fallen away right now. But guess what? In the middle of all that, the kingdom is becoming more real and more alive. And we can see it like we never saw it before. It isn't eating and drinking. It's righteousness that we've received through Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'm so aware of the righteousness I have received in Christ. That he took my sin and gave me his perfect righteousness. I'm so aware in this hour that I am perfectly loved. Are you aware of the fact that you are perfectly loved? You are loved by the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are not alone. Sometimes the enemy comes in with a whole lot of fear. But I want to say to you this morning, you are not alone. Even if you're laying in a hospital bed, you are not alone. Reach into the one who holds you. Reach into what he has purchased for you, your healing. Declare it over yourself. Even if you can't speak it, you can think it in your heart. Your spirit man is alive. He's not bound up in any way. So he keeps us in perfect peace when our minds are stayed upon you. The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Never. In Isaiah 41:10, in the Passion, it states, "Do not yield to fear, for I am always near you. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with strength and help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand." It's not a right hand that is weak, church. It isn't. It's a victorious right hand. So we need to fix our gaze on the Lord right now. All three members of the Godhead have fellowship with us. But sometimes it's easier to talk about the Father, and it's easier to talk about Jesus. And not always does the church have the grip on the Holy Spirit that we need to have. The Holy Spirit is getting ready to move in a very powerful way all over the world. And we've been saying this for a long time, but there is an acceleration going on. You can feel it in the spirit. There is a church in Canada that is praying for revival. And that revival may come in a time when we are not free to move around like we used to be. But he will move through us as we text someone, as we speak to someone, as we send someone a meal, as we walk through our neighborhoods with our family and begin to bless every home and pray for every home, as we begin to pray for the nation of Canada as a church, as we talked about last, I believe, Monday night. The Holy Spirit, church, wants to have fellowship with us. He is a person. He is the person of the third person of the Trinity. He has a personality. He feels. He can be grieved. He loves. He wants to have fellowship with us. And I want to just talk to you for a minute about that, what that looks like. He isn't just tongues. He isn't just power. He's with you right now in the room where you're at. You can feel him. You can sense him. And if you want him to draw closer to you, invite him. Ask him to come, even as I'm preaching, to fill you till you can't handle anymore. And then he'll give you some more so you're overflowing. The word fellowship is actually communion. He wants to commune with you. The word is koinonia, fellowship, companionship, communion, intimacy, sharing together, social intercourse, partnership, joint participation, and close mutual association. Communion means fellowship, and that means a friendly relationship, companionship, sharing together. Your friend wants to commune with you. He wants to have a partnership with you. We are laborers together with God. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says that in the Weymouth translation, we are fellow workers for and with God. We are called to have fellowship. And we see this in Acts 15:28. You know, the early church didn't do anything without the Holy Spirit. Paul learned very quickly that he couldn't. The Holy Spirit told him where to go, where not to go. And when Paul was learning this, the way to a certain place he wanted to go to got blocked. And when he needed to go somewhere, the Holy Spirit made it very, very clear. The man from Macedonia that came to him while he was asleep, inviting him to come. I mean, God has ways of speaking to us by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, that we haven't even tapped, church. So Paul went to Macedonia. Paul knew he had to go to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit told him he had to go. And even when others told him, no, don't go, Paul knew the Holy Spirit had told him to go. So it says in Acts 15:28, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. The Holy Spirit is alive. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit wants to increase, and he does it through a many-membered body. The Holy Spirit, finally, and above all things, wants to have intimacy with us. And boy, how we stumble over that word, because the enemy has so defiled that word. But the Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with us. Intimacy goes deep into the thoughts, secrets, and desires of our heart. That's why it's been so defiled. We think of it only in the flesh. But it is a word that speaks about the deepest intimacy with someone that you can ever imagine. Intimacy of the heart. It's easy to be physical with somebody, but it's a whole different story to have a heart-to-heart, deep intimacy with someone. Amen? It's so true. Pastor Jay just said it's true. And I just, not to puff Jay up, but I love the relationship that he and Krista have. They have the heart-to-heart intimacy. Their love is very real. They can speak without saying a word. That's what it's called to be. It's the deepest level of friendship that you can ever have. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to have with us. In James 4:5, it states, the Spirit who dwells in you yearns jealously for you. He longs for our time. He longs for our presence. Now, the key scripture that Pastor Jay has been preaching from for a long time already, and I'm going to quote it again, is Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Do we need to be drawing on him right now? Yes. Yes. Listen, church, whoever's listening, the Holy Spirit will come into your room in such a way that every storm around you, just you lose sight of it, because he overwhelms you. And when you come out of that, you do not go back to that storm. You don't even want to, because the storm is not the size of what you thought it was. It is the Holy Spirit who gives hope. It says it right there. I just read it. May the God of hope fill you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Fill you with hope, with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Do you trust him? Do you trust him as you seek his face? that he will keep you, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't stress that enough. Hope is joyful anticipation of good. Hope attracts what is anticipated. What are you anticipating in 2021? I continue to anticipate an incredible move of God all across this nation. It's the hope. It's the hope that will turn things around. I anticipate more of the Holy Spirit. I anticipate being able to hear him so clearly, being able to see what Jesus is doing, being able to live from the spirit realm, which was prophesied, I believe, last Tuesday night with Drew Neal and Pastor Kathy. I believe Pastor Kathy prophesied it over this church, that we would learn to live in a place where we would be living from the spirit realm. It takes the Holy Spirit, church. What are you anticipating? Are you anticipating the pain of isolation? Or are you anticipating, Lord, what are you going to do in this season as I sit with you? What am I going to learn in the word in this season? We need to change our thinking so that when we come out of this, we are so fired up, we can't be contained. Amen? I can hear you shouting yes. Both hope and hopelessness are contagious. We can give hope to people, or we can bring hopelessness to them. It depends on what we're putting into us. Listen, church, we don't want to keep the Holy Spirit unemployed. Come on, he's there available to us. Come on. And I can just sense, I've had prayer, but I don't know if I've received the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to jump ahead here. I'm going to tick this out of order a little bit, but that's okay. Listen, Jesus came in as Lord and Savior. When he came into the upper room, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit came into you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit that they received in Acts 2 and 3, actually, that Holy Spirit is the baptism. It's a baptism of dunamis and power. But too often, the church has put all the emphasis on receiving tongues. And yes, it's our prayer language, and yes, it's important. I'm not minimizing that. But let me tell you a little story. After I got born again, and that would be 47 years ago now, a year before Pastor Jay was born, in the Catholic Church, by the way, God can move anywhere, it was during the charismatic renewal, about a year later, I heard about being baptized in the Holy Spirit at a prayer meeting at Holy Redeemer College. And when they said there were going to be meetings where you could be baptized in the Holy Spirit, being who I am, it's like, I want it. That's it. It's mine. I want it. And I remember the night that I walked into the room and they had small groups of people. And you would go to a group and you would be prayed for. To receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we were all Catholic people. And we were so hungry. Listen, don't ever underestimate what God will do in a denominational church. He will come anywhere where he's wanted. A church that believes in Jesus Christ, he will walk into it and he will come, the Holy Spirit. So there I was. I ended up going to a Redemptorist brother. And he was a little bit like Pastor Johnny, as big as Pastor Johnny used to be. Just a sweet, sweet man. And he was the one with a couple of other ladies that prayed for me for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I didn't get tongues. You know what happened to me? The Holy Spirit gave me what I needed most. Tears. I was bottled up. I had shut myself down. I had walked through I was in the middle of walking through that season with Pastor Jay, where we had learned he was deaf and that he had blood disease. I was under an incredible level of stress, but I wasn't about to cry because I knew if I opened up those floodgates by myself, I didn't know if I could shut them again. And I'm sure some of you felt that way. Anyway, that's the floodgate that opened because that's what I needed. I needed to cry. And the Holy Spirit just brought it all up and brought it all out. He comes in with what we need. He's the comforter. He's the edifier. He's the strengthener. He's the builder up. And from that day on, I began to pursue the Holy Spirit. And I remember being at home and sitting in the rocking chair and rocking the man that's now your senior pastor. Seems strange to say that. But he was a tiny little guy, and I had been told I could have tongues, and I said, Lord, I want tongues. And I just sat there. I got one word, and I just said that one word over him. Then I got two and three and four, and then it just broke open. But I was persistent. If this is for me, then I want it. I want my prayer language. I encourage you to do the same. Don't let go. But it wasn't the first thing I received. That's the point I'm trying to make to you. There is so much more in the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus said in John 16:7, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. See, we needed the Holy Spirit, and Jesus had to go back to the Father. The Holy Spirit loves to be near people who are filled with rest. He loves to be around people who carry peace. Because that is how the kingdom functions. Jesus was never in turmoil. Jesus wasn't in angst. He was asleep in the boat. Everything about Jesus reveals to us that the kingdom is one of peace and rest, which is where he's calling us to dwell in this hour. In Genesis 8:6-9, and I'm going to read this because it's such a powerful account. It says that Noah had built the ark and the flood waters come, and now many days have gone by. And in chapter 8, verses 7-12, he says, he also sent from himself a dove. Please catch that. He sent from himself a dove. It's key to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her feet. And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her, and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days, and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. The dove in scripture signifies the Holy Spirit. No other animal received the same attention or had the applied bond with Noah as the dove did. The dove was released from a place of rest and was sent out to look for a resting place. We see this same picture with Jesus when he sends his disciples out. When you go into a home, you send out peace. And if the peace comes back to you and it finds no resting place, there's no one open to me in that place or to the Holy Spirit, then the peace will come back to you and you don't stay there. The Holy Spirit is looking for a place to rest, church. And he wants to rest on you right there in your home. We've always seen it as something that happens corporately. But I'm telling you, God's teaching us in this hour. He wants to work on each one of us in our homes while we're set apart and yet together in bonds of love. So we need to get hungry, church. Are you hungry this morning? Are you hungry? Is your face towards the Lord? Is your face daily towards the Lord? Are you spending time with Him? I want to close out this teaching by reading from a teaching that we never talk about. It's an uncomfortable teaching for most people, but I want to go there today because I think we're sitting in an hour where it's so relevant that we understand the Holy Spirit has been given. He dwells inside of us. He's Christ in us, the hope of glory. But that relationship with Him is developed by us. Salvation is free. But other things we work out with fear and trembling. Matthew 25. If you have your Bibles open, follow with me. I'm going to read out of the New King James Translation. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of 10 bridesmaids. Actually, I think it's the NIV I'm using. Sorry. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps. But the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Oh, we need to hear that, all of them. So we need to shake off that drowsiness, church. It's time to let the light in, as we sang this morning. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please, give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy the oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood out calling, "Lord, Lord, open for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you." Can I just stop there for a minute? The word "know" here is, I am not intimately acquainted with you. I don't have a heart-to-heart relationship with you. And we could say that's salvation. That's what many would say. And yes, it is. But it's more than that. Because the whole thing is about buying oil. The whole thing is about buying anointing. The whole thing is about intimate fellowship, koinonia, with the Holy Spirit. I'm not intimately related with you. Then it says, So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. That can be taken for end time, but that also can be taken. We don't know the day and the hour the master will have need of us to minister to someone. And if our oil is not, if our vessels are not filled with the anointing, we won't be able to pour out of the spirit man. Okay? So let me give you the meanings of foolish. The word is actually moros. Moros, M-O-R-O-S. It's stubborn, inattentive, dull, sluggish, silly. So 5 were inattentive, kind of stubborn about it. Don't tell me what to do. The other 5 were wise, prudent, attentive, sensible. 5 of the girls had stepped into grace. They were attentive to the Lord, understanding the price he had paid to open the door for them to worship him.
They, out of their love, had made an investment in seeking his face to be filled with his anointing, day after day after day. And sometimes in the tough seasons, moment after moment after moment. They were ready when the bridegroom came. They were prepared and wise. The word was rich in them. The word poured out of them in the moment they felt the Holy Spirit begin to move on them. But the other five girls also had received the grace of salvation, but they had not prepared. They were dull and sluggish, and they had not invested the time in seeking his face to be filled with his anointing oil. They were unwise. That's none of us, because we're all wise, right? We are all wise. This is the part we have to do. We want revival in our neighborhoods. We want revival in the deepest, darkest, most painful places in the city of Windsor, right? Father, everywhere. And yes, we want it in the house of the Lord, but only to minister to them when they come in. We want it out on the streets, like in the Hebrides, where people were falling and crying out, "How must I be saved?" Where people walked into the police stations, "What can I do to be saved?" And if the man at the desk, when the person came in, was a foolish virgin, how could he say anything? But if he was wise, he'd be able to say, "Let me tell you about Jesus." Amen? That's what this is about. Notice that the coming of the bridegroom was delayed, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. So we need to keep ourselves awake, church. It's a warning. We're in a season right now with all the pressure in the spirit realm and the lockdown that it's easy to fall asleep, or it's easy to numb ourselves with addictive things, with food, with alcohol, with drugs, with movies, with gaming, all of that stuff. We can drug ourselves, literally. And the Lord says, no, stay awake, press into me, look into my face, use this time to read my word, build yourself up. We don't want to be asleep. We want to be ready to minister when he asks us. When they heard the cry, all 10 got up to prepare their lamps. But the five foolish did not have enough oil, and they asked for oil from the wise virgins. While they were trying to buy some more oil, the bridegroom came, and they missed the moment because they weren't ready. We buy oil whenever we spend time in the presence of God, and he fills us. He fills us, and he prepares us. So that when emergencies in life come along, we have oil. Do you have oil this morning? Oh, wow. Holy Spirit just dropped. Church, do you have oil? Do you have oil for that phone call that may come today? Do you have oil for that text that someone may send you? Do you have oil to get into prayer for that person whose family member just went into the hospital? Do you have oil with faith enough to stand on 1 Peter 2:24 that by the stripes of Jesus, that person's already healed? Do you have oil enough to step into that faith? Do you have oil enough in your vessel to step into faith to say that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory? And not just quote it, but know it. Know it that that's his promise. Know it that that's the word. Know by faith that that person whose business is going under, that you can speak to him, give him wise counsel, give him wisdom. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing in this hour? He fills us and prepares us so that when a person needs healing, we can pray and it's done. We are anointed, prepared. We are to be attentive and alert to his presence. It takes an investment on our part. It means setting some other things aside. That's why the cleanse was so good for the first 10 days. Because we set time aside. Right, Andrea? We set time aside. We prayed for other people. We prayed for other nations. Amen. We prayed for another church in our nation. We fasted. We were in the Word. We were strengthened. We were refocused. We were refocused on what's most important. His kingdom must come and His will must be done. It's an investment on our part. In Acts 5:15, as I close, it states that the sick were laid in the streets with the hope that Peter's shadow would fall on them and they would be healed. It wasn't Peter's shadow that brought healing. Peter was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And it was that presence, the presence of the Lord, the presence of the King that the Holy Spirit brought inside of him that brought the miracles. The anointing that we receive as we sit before the Lord is the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. It's an expression of the third person of the Trinity, a real person, and He dwells in us. We can feel it when He comes into the room. He's in your room right now. He's there right now. He told me He was going to come. Just hold your hands up again and begin to receive. Just draw on Him. He wants to infuse you with Himself to a measure that you can hardly even retain. The anointing must become so strong and heavy in our lives that it overshadows us as it did Peter. The anointing is substance. It's the Holy Spirit. Steve Schroeder, in the interview on Canada during the cleanse, spoke about the acres of land in northern BC where the pipes lay that were ready to connect the pipeline. And the Lord spoke to him, said, "The pipes are ready in Canada." As he said that, I saw the candlestick of the Lord in the temple. And each of those pipes were filled in the, is it menorah, I believe. Each of those pipes were filled with oil. Church, where are those pipes? The pipes in Canada are ready. Let's not miss the moment. That was such a prophetic word. I heard it. It ricocheted through me. It's like, Lord, the pipes in Canada are ready. May we be those pipes. May we be so filled with oil that we can flow out wherever we go. It's time. It's time. We have been given a hope and a future. May the Holy Spirit rest in this place, in our place, in our vessels, in our home, in our bedroom, in our hospital room, wherever we're at. May the Holy Spirit be so heavy that whoever walks into that room be impacted by it. It's possible. It happened with Pastor Johnny. It happened with Dorman. The only two nurses that weren't saved got saved. It's possible. It's what God wants to do. Holy Spirit, You are welcome in this place. May You become so powerful in us that like Jesus with the woman with the issue of blood in a big crowd, Jesus felt when issue healing left His body for the one. May we become as sensitive. May we never grieve the dove. May He never have to lift off our shoulders. I became so aware of this in Hong Kong when Bill Johnson taught 13,000 underground people from the underground churches in China on the Holy Spirit, who had been abused and hurt but were so passionate for the Lord. He taught about loving the one so much that he never had to lift off their shoulders. And they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. They laughed, they danced, they cried, they ran, they prayed in tongues. It was the most incredible thing to behold as these people who could never talk about Jesus outside in this safe place received the Holy Spirit, were healed, were filled, were taught, enabled to go back to their country and release healing in the presence of the Lord, even without saying a word, because they were overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. It's amazing when you think about it. It's amazing. And so I encourage you, seek the face of the one who sent not only his Son, but sent the Spirit of the Son, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. We are so blessed, church. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I just want to encourage you as you're sitting there. Church, whether you're alone or whether you're sitting with your family, I think of Ryan and Megan and their children, different families with their children. I think of husbands and wives sitting there. And right now, as you sit, Betty, I pray healing in the name of Jesus for those headaches. They have to go. They have to go. Those headaches have to go now in the name of Jesus. It's finished. We declare total healing over you. And many others, just reach in and pray together. The presence of the Lord is so strong. So strong. Pray for healing. Pray for a neighbor if they you know they're sick. Pray for the heartaches that you know is all around you. Holy Spirit, just come into those rooms. Holy Spirit, into each home. And let them just release what you're telling them to release right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we have a hope in the future. Our eyes are on you. We are not under hopelessness. We are filled with your joy and your peace, because we always already have your righteousness. Your kingdom is real. We stand in it, and we thank you for it now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.